Ko te wā tēnei mō Heps Picks.
Yes, that's right. It is time for Peps Picks. Right now it is 8 past 9 a.m., 20th of June. And it's time for a big, deep thinking discussion. Good morning, Martin.
Morning. Hello, buddy.
Hello. How are you, mate?
Oh, doing okay. Sitting outside having a coffee.
Outside?
Yes.
Oh. Brave.
It's quite mild. It's quite mild. It's not very brisk.
Really?
It's quite terrible. Yeah.
Oh, it's shit here. It's cold. Oh. yeah, trying to eke out some sympathy there. Don't try too hard. God. How are you? What's been going on?
I'm okay. Just working on things. Yeah, I went up to Auckland for a week.
Oh, lovely.
You know, tried to get blood out of a few stones.
Any luck?
Yeah, a little bit. But we'll see how it all plays out in the long term. Yeah, always interesting.
Mm.
Always interesting stuff. Making money out of writing and DJing and photography.
Stupid. Yeah, real easy money. Easy.
Yeah. A little bit of a stupid pursuit in the post-pandemic years. But, you know, you get a little bit too long in the tooth and that's how you are.
Hey, I just want to
say... The world's on fire.
The world is completely on fire. Why do anything with logic anymore? There's no point.
Well... You do get left of that feeling after everything that occurred.
Right? It's just like, ugh.
You know, there is. It was just it's horrifying, really. You know, you think back even a few years and, you know, watching what happened to all these people who'd done everything by the book.
Yeah.
The mortgage, you know.
Yeah.
The kids, the career, job, everything, and then you find out actually, you know, we're not in control, and suddenly everything gets ripped away from everyone. It was brutal, but let's not regret too much because no one really wanted to hear that. ironically, though, you know, in terms of reflection and introspection, we've got some music today.
Someone who's very good at this.
Yeah, but. I mean, the funny thing about this guy, though, right? Because did you go to the show?
No, you know what? I unfortunately could not. But I did get to interview him, and he's a lovely man.
Yeah, you had him on, and you talked to him. And, you know, people get these ideas about these artists. You know, they hear some of the music, or they see the photos, and they just go, oh, you know, this is just really just going to be very serious, you know, very serious, very, you know, jazz samples and serious mm-hmm, and heavy. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as you probably noticed, you know, he's got a pretty light energy and he's quite fun.
He is. He's so easy to talk to and he's quite a jokester.
Yeah, he's a funny guy and he's getting funnier too. If you haven't figured out who we're talking about yet, we're talking about Amir Muhammad El Khalifa, a.k.a. Odyssey, mm-hmm. rapper from Sudanese-American rapper, producer, businessman, just great guy, lover of coffee. Huge fan of Coffee Supreme. shout out to James and Real Estate, Supreme.
Yes.
I could do with one of those... Those are artisan McMuffins. I could do one of those right now.
I want their filter. Oh, their filter's good.
Mm. Oh, the filter is good. I guess it's... How long ago was it? A month ago? 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, about then, when Odyssey was here, I think.
Earlier the year. Yeah, he came and played some shows in New Zealand with DJ Unknown. They played in Christchurch at Wunderbar.
Yes, of all places.
Now, while Odyssey was here, he surprise dropped a new EP called And Yet Still through his own label, Out of Note label. His production, his raps.
And you know what? He didn't announce it on my show. It was so rude. I was like, no.
Well, you know, I mean, they got to keep something for the. they got to keep something. They can't give you everything, Liam.
I know. It's fair.
It's pretty cool how artists like that still come up and do interviews with student radio, though.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a highlight of my time on Breakfast, I think. He was so interesting to talk to.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one because he, like I said, you know, his father's Sudanese, his mother's Black American, raised in Washington, D.C., and he had the good fortune to grow up just down the road from a member of George Clinton's Parliament Funkadelic band, who had a home studio. And it wasn't just a home studio, it was a home studio that had drum machines and samplers and keyboards. He used to let the local kids come and learn how to use the gear.
That's kind of wicked.
You know, it's like a community thing. It's just definitely one of the things that you hear when you talk... You talk to people who became involved in, you know, from the birth of hip-hop, really, in terms of the DJ and the producer side. A lot of people, you know, maybe they weren't necessarily growing up in the safest neighborhoods. And when they told their parents they wanted to be a DJ or they wanted to make beats, you know, the parents' first thought was, well, if I get them this, they're going to spend a lot of time inside.
Yeah,
home,
right.
Preferably in the basement, you know? You know, this is a way to keep kids off the street. You go over to the UK, in the 80s and 90s, there was a real prevalence of youth community centres, which tended to have studio and recording facilities. This is where the first generation of... jungle, drum and bass, grime, garage, dubstep artists. A lot of these people learnt the basis of production, DJing, engineering, going these places. And once again, you know, you tell your parents you're going to the youth centre, pretty happy. You tell your parents, oh, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going, I'm just hitting the street for all the Saturday. Yeah, maybe they don't love it. It's interesting. It's interesting, this sort of whole thing. You know, so he developed his skills. He had some early... there was this great moment in the early 2000s. I remember it so clearly because it actually ties in with here. So you remember Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince?
Yes.
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, right. Okay, so, you know, I mean, a lot of people all around the world, like, that's one of the shows... they grew up watching in the 90s.
Oh, huge, massive TV show.
Yeah, and, you know, from that show, you know, by the time that show happens, I mean, Will Smith is a pop hip-hop artist, and his DJ, you know, him and Jazzy Jeff, they've been this pop hip-hop duo, they've been all around the world, the TV show happens, and in the show, Jazzy Jeff was sort of a punchline. He's the character who Uncle Phil's always throwing out of the house, you know. By the early 2000s, you know, Jazzy Jeff had realised that this wasn't the space he wanted to be in.
Right.
He wanted to do music more for music's sake. You know, he's Jazzy Jeff. He loved jazz, you know?
Yeah.
Jazz, soul, all of this, really musical. And he had this album that he made in, I think it was 2003 or 2004, I believe the title was The Magnificent. It was his debut. It was him working with a whole bunch of rappers and producers, you know, debuting his underground hip-hop R&B sound, even elements of Deep House. And, you know, he's working with people like Kenny Dope, Lil Louis Vega, Kev Brown, Odyssey. Odyssey is on there as a producer. You know, this is one of the early credits. You know, from there it progresses into releasing his own music, you know, building this, collaborating with people, building discography, and in about 2006, MySpace was a thing.
Yeah, MySpace.
You know about MySpace?
Yeah,
were you,
oh my
more
God.
Of a Bebo? Were you more of a Bebo guy?
you're right, actually. Bebo was my first kind of online account. sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But MySpace, you know, it is. I mean, at this point, it's a distant memory. But this, for a lot, in America, the foundation of the social networking idea, there were two things. First of all, there was a networked website in the late 90s called Black Planet. That was for, like, you know, black people around the world to connect with each other.
Right.
Then the next one, it was called Friendster. Friendster was sort of like the prelude.
I remember Friendster, actually.
Yeah, MySpace. And MySpace was really, music was a big component because you could have an artist page and you could upload up to 4 songs.
Yeah.
So all these people start connecting with each other. And, you know, Amir had been connecting, Odyssey had been connecting with all these people across Europe. You know, so he messages all of his contacts and he's like, I'm going to come to Europe for 6 months. I'm going to buy a rail pass. If you could put on a show for me, or if you know someone who could put a show for me, or if you know a local club that might, let's try and work it out. So he patches together this really ranky, shambolic, ropey tour of Europe. He goes all around Europe playing all these early shows, you know, rapping over his beats, doing his thing. But it builds the foundation for his audience that starts rapidly growing. 2 years later, the debut album 101 comes out, and then from there things just ramp up, like a record every couple of years, shows around the world.
He becomes
more sophisticated as a producer, more sophisticated as a rapper. He gets involved in projects with other artists. He appears on records from people like The Foreign Exchange, Marco Polo, Jay Live, Little Brother, Apollo Brown, Eric Lau. And I guess maybe, I've been trying to figure out when it was. It was over 10 years ago now. Maybe 12 years ago, he came to New Zealand for the first time. Played a show in Auckland in this outdoor courtyard. And he's just kept coming back every few years ever since. It all sort of culminated at this point, and before the pandemic in 2018, he came with a band. Because obviously it's a thing, you know, you're doing this underground hip-hop thing. I mean, I call it practical life advice rap, what he does.
I've never heard that term. I like that.
Well, I mean, you're not going to hear that to describe a lot of things. But I think when you listen to his music, you know, there's a lot. He's just talking about day-to-day realities and how he does things. The guy's been really smart. He's been really smart with his work and publishing and soundtrack work and licensing. And he's created this great life for himself. Living in New York with his wife and his children. Still going, you know, over 20 years and still going. So, yeah, there's a new record. Like I said, it's called And Yet Still. And there's a few things going on with this record. One of it is he's showing that he can do contemporary work. There's
a
track called Had to Improve, where he's adopting some drill rum styles and cadences. I mean, that having been one of the preeminent modern hip-hop styles for about 8 years now, maybe 10 years, really starting back in Chicago with Chief Keef, all the way to the Chicago sound influencing the UK sound, UK drill, which then influenced the New York drill sound, leading to artists like Pop Smoke, the artist who tragically died a couple of years ago, who worked with British producers. So New York artists were the sort of a generational gravitas, like the gravitas of a Biggie or someone, but bridging the Atlantic, that sort of thing. You've got throwback records like Live from the DMV with a mid-90s house party vibe. You've got some more interesting ones like Thankful Four, where he used a 4/6 Moroccan rhythm with jazz elements. There's a spoken word soulful rock record called Give Way. And your World on Fire, which is one we're going to listen to, which is just him just talking about what he's been seeing in the world around him and his thoughts on everything going on. There's a lot of stuff that hangs heavily over him. I'm sure a lot of people are aware. There's been some difficult ongoing situations in Sudan over the last couple of years. A lot of violence, a lot of bloodshed. Obviously, that's something that weighs heavy for him.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
You know, like, I mean, his father being from there, having family still there. Yeah, a lot of topics. lot of topics, and he can do that. He can put a lot of information into a song in a short period of time, but still hang it together in a way where, yeah, you can take it on board, but it's not too heavy. It's a real balancing act, and, yeah, you really see this. You see this when you talk to him in interviews or see him perform live, the ability to juxtapose the songs with humour, add some lightness to the heft. It's a tightrope walk, but he walks it really well.
Yeah, he does. And, I mean, that's a skill that's getting harder and harder to achieve because there's more and more news every day and it's getting heavier and heavier constantly. So,
well, I mean, it gets to the point where you just feel everything or you feel nothing.
Wow. Wow, that is a profound statement there, Martin. It's very true.
Yeah, and look, I mean, neither scenario is great.
No, no. I unfortunately am leaning more towards feeling nothing, personally. I don't love it, but...
Oh, look, you know, I have my taste. I go back and forth. I think a lot of people do.
Yes, yes.
It's tough, you know, we've got a lot to be thankful for, but, I mean, there's a lot that's difficult too. And, yeah, global connectivity, the human brain taking on all this input.
Yes.
That's didn't have to know this stuff 100 years ago, 200 years ago.
Yeah, my poor brain, honestly.
And saying that word always spread, though.
Always finds
word
a way.
Always spread.
Always finds a way.
Always spread. It always spread.
Anyway,
all right.
Martin, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for talking to me this morning. It's always a delight. And it was very cool to play music from someone we have both actually talked to. Well, you're like friends with him, but I've also talked to this person, so it's cool.
Hey, you have a great day, Liam.
You too, mate. And that is the legendary Mr. Martin Pepperell there. Talking about World on Fire by Odyssey. It's a new track from a new EP by Odyssey. Well, newish. Anyway, here it is. Ooh, better get ready. Here is World on Fire.
I said I wasn't going to check on the news today. A fan of Marvin, but I think I make blues today. The world is out of rhythm, another cataclysm. These schisms got me shrouded deep and down more than usually. I feel defeated in my victories, keep my family from misery, but visibly bombarded by bombers physically sickens me. Helpless as a father, it's a psychological trauma that I wouldn't wish upon all my enemies. No honor is any thieves, made modern the ministry. No comma could ever equate the sum of a sentence in. What's left is this energy that converts into entropy. A worse of vengeance with no intention on anything. Forever is a mighty long time to do anything. Imagine if you only ever dreamed of remembering a sadness we all try to numb with the simple things we share and reshare. Empathy becomes sympathy. But yeah. I say the world's on fire and your body gets the bullet. Ain't burnt yet, keep surviving in your hood. Mind our threats, wouldn't hide if we could. Lines ain't left, better mind we stood. War over north, inside we're safe. Up on the siege and them thugs mitigate. Civilized killings in disguise, that's the good. But you can't fool all the people all the time. Younger generations are idealists. Older generations provide ceilings. Knowing that their way of life is threatened and it's set on a lie, feeling the change of tide. Knowing that the truth is arrived, fearing their time near and behind dealings in public eye. And wonder why it's not made to hide like they other crimes. Age of information ain't a place you can summarize and tell it how you want without a word from the other side. Serial imperialists, a pattern of victimhood. Shooting ain't euphoric if you shot it, don't feel as good. Homicidal generals, a pawn in a chess game. Mongers and invest in the same harm than protesting. Your honor, I'm guessing it won't let up till net gains. They have a hand in death and just accepted it left stains. What is there to gain from being humble, accept pain? No matter the life, to be alive is the blessing. I say the world's on fire and your body is the bullet. Ain't earned yet, keep surviving in your hood. Mind our threats, wouldn't hide if we could. Lines ain't left, better mind we stood. War over north, inside we're safe. Up on the siege and them thugs mitigate. Civilized killers in disguise, that's the good, but you can't.